At Philotheo, I would lie down to sleep with the prayer. I was saying the prayer, you keep on with the prayers. And into my mind came the gospel passage about the Samaritan woman, that blessed meeting of Christ with the Samaritan woman. Now Christ, in order to draw her in, to catch her on his hook, says to her, Woman, give me a little water to drink. She realized that he was an Israelite. She says, How is it possible for me to give you water? This is not permitted to me, she says, because I am a Samaritan woman, to give water to you, an Israelite. He says to her, You have a great blessing from God that you are standing here, and you should know who it is that is speaking to you. If you had asked me, I would have given you not this water that I'm asking you to give me, but living water, water that has eternal life within it. Give me this water to drink, Lord, so that I may no longer have to labor. This water begins to flow within you when the nous, the spiritual intellect, when the nous gazes upon the name of Christ. Then the heart becomes not only a fountain of life, but an outpouring of life as well. And so you encounter obstacles, because a person hinders the name of Christ within himself. Through worship in spirit and in truth, and so that the mouth may speak out of the abundance of the heart, whatever he has built up inside himself, he brings out. He speaks of Christ and gives forth the fragrance of Christ. We owe a debt to the great desert fathers because they labored so greatly to discover this and to leave us as an inheritance, grace and participation in God, so that the human heart might become divine. Just as we saw in that vision of the monk, the nameless one, that monk who had fallen, who was negligent, who had been scandalized, praying in the church with pain in his heart and saying, My Christ, you who were crucified under Pontius Pilate, you poured out your blood for us sinners. Can you not help me too, and save me as well from this condition, this wretched state I am living in? As he wove these words together with compunction and longing, the prayer began to work in him, to say the words, Lord Jesus Christ. Previously, he had acquired the prayer, but he did not guard it and lost it. Yet, while the prayer was being said, he was counted worthy of that great vision. The moment the prayer began to work within him, his whole disposition changed at once. Before that, he had felt something good, certainly, as he tells us, but nothing extraordinary. Often, he struggles against temptation for a long time. Should we give way and say, After all, it is not as John says, I cannot find these things. If you have patient endurance and persevere, as you have been taught, according to what you hear in the teachings of the fathers, you will find them. God shows no partiality. God is not for only a few. He is for everyone. It is enough that we seek him sincerely, seek him with longing, and endure the labor. If we do not constrain ourselves, how shall we find him? In order to cast off its old skin, the snake squeezes itself between two stones. By pressing its way through, it sheds its old garment and puts on the new. In the same way, unless we constrain and exert ourselves, the old garment will not come off. Let us constrain the nous and the heart. Let us apply force there and break the stubbornness of the nous. Then we begin to find something through the name of Jesus. Stop preaching any longer, they said. Then bold Peter stands up. Is it even possible, he says, for us to keep silent? What we have seen and heard, we must obey God rather than men. We will obey God, he says, and we will obey our teacher, because you are the ones who crucified him. We lived with him and saw him, and we shall proclaim him. We have received a command, and nothing will make us stop. They seized them, but Gamaliel, their teacher, said, Do not hinder them. Others have also made a name for themselves, gathered disciples, and offered some teaching. But either while their leaders were alive or after their deaths, those disciples were scattered. If this plan is of human origin, it will come to nothing. But if it is from God, you will not be able to overthrow it by any means. Following this counsel, the apostles began their preaching and began to win over the scribes and Pharisees. And they tell us, Do not keep crying out the name of Christ, you will burst. Obstacles come from every side, through idle talk and through the ceaseless chatter of our own nous. 1,001 things toss our minds this way and that. They stop us, hinder us, put obstacles in our path, and make everything difficult. Right now I'm struggling. What does it take? Yanito said to me, My child, Do not waste words on idle talk. Say the prayer. So I should say the prayer. But something pulls at me to talk a little, and my mind is drawn to wander off somewhere else, because every single thing has a pleasure inside it, and so that pleasure pulls me, the attraction of pleasure, to let off steam somewhere. Should I give myself over to fantasies and desires? What would that accomplish? We have been crucified to such things. Everyone has his own obedience. I will not resist or argue. I will drive away every fantasy and hold fast to the word. Hold fast to the word. If I am told to attend to my assigned duty, I will attend to it. But this is difficult. Another distraction strikes me. Someone begins talking to me about one thing or another, even matters that seem important. The enemy plants logismoi, intrusive thoughts about worldly things, or tries to turn my mind back to the past. I will fall back, or begin judging others, or lose my inner peace, and after ending up in such a state, how will I be able to sit down and pray? How else can I preserve the Jesus prayer and remain true to my calling? But when I shut the enemy out and continue praying, I hinder him. If I surrender the Jesus prayer for a plate of food, I am trading away this blessing for whatever he comes and offers me. But, Elder, the things you tell us have not been given to us, because we have not applied this kind of force to ourselves. We have tested this kind of self-constraint ourselves, and I was benefited by it, so shut yourself in your cell. Let us make a beginning, make a start, and then come and tell me whether it is so or not. If this were mere theory, if I had put it together from books in order to tell it to you, I too would evade the question. But when the whole active ascetic life, praxis, is true and can actually be lived, I cannot accept or be persuaded that the point I am making is only theory. Let me give you another example. I have often told you these things simply to help you. Once our elder sent us on foot from Little St. Anne to Pantocrator to collect some books, we would be away for 2 or 3 days. Now consider the command he gave us. You are not to speak at all along the way. If someone were told that today, he would say, "What is he talking about? 2 people together for 2 or 3 days without speaking." Yet that was the command given to us, and the question was whether we would keep it. We set out and walked for 7 hours, eventually reaching Carias. After we had finished what we needed to do there, we continued to Kultlumusio. We spent the day working in Carias, and after 3 days we returned to the elder. The elder did not believe that his command would have been kept, and when we returned, he looked me straight in the eyes and asked, "Did you speak? By your blessing, elder, we did not speak. Do you see? Glory to God." The brother walking with me was older. He would say, "Father, look over here. Do you see that monastery? It is called such and such. Do you see this? Do you see that?" I kept my head down, saying, "My Christ, my Christ." When we stopped somewhere to eat, there were further occasions and temptations. A brother greeted us and kissed our hands, and my companion spoke to him. That was a great temptation for me. I could have thought, "Look what he has done. I am the younger one, so I must not speak, but neither should he. He must also obey the command." Yet, so that I would not judge the brother, I said to myself, "What did the elder tell me?" He said, "You are not to speak." When I told the elder exactly and honestly what had happened, he said, "You said nothing and did not answer, so you did not disobey." Then he embraced and kissed me. The command had been given, and it was not broken. Do you think this effort was made without struggle? There was self-constraint, pressure, logismoi, intrusive thoughts, this temptation and that one, but it had to be done. The elder's word was not to be set aside, so this is one example showing that it can be done. You may ask, how much There must be spiritual work taking place within you. If I have no spiritual work within myself and, wishing to show love, I begin to sit there discussing and talking, we will soon fall into disagreement, and grace will withdraw. We become entangled like spiders in their webs instead of being united within ourselves. And I want to say this, if we want to make progress in prayer, we have to be watchful. We have to help our prayer along. I grieve over this because I am the first, the wretched one, and I will be the first to bear the blame. You happen to find me unworthy as I am, but I found an elder and spiritual fathers. How could anyone who heard of that elder fail to draw near to him? I began to pass on what I had received from the elder as a living tradition, not from a book, but from person to person. There are still people who knew him. He truly lived. We have his skull and his relics. Yes, the elder was here, your grandfather in the faith. His own elders labored hard, and then you came along like fine gentlemen. You found an elder waiting for you, and you found the place already cleansed, because there were many demons here. All the priests, you see, exorcise them. They drive them out into the wild places, into the deserts, into the mountains, and so on. And the demons leave the possessed and take up residence in those places. And we labored so hard to drive out the demons by prayer, and you found the place clean and full of light. You have a guide, and everything is laid out for you. You come straight into the work of prayer and into the struggles. And now, he says, you had it easy coming here, whereas in the old days you would have had no guide at all. You would have had to ask around, to search, to fast, to hunt from place to place, and spend great toil, just to find someone who could say a word or two to you about prayer and the monastic life, so that you could say, I have found a guide. But you found a guide without difficulty coming directly from the world to Mount Athos, and still, he says, you do not labor. We are inconsistent in what we have received. What will the young men who now come and visit monasteries and skedis find in us, the elders of today? What can they receive from our own spiritual fathers to carry onward? And from the others as well, because we have nothing to give, what can you receive from someone who is poor and destitute? That is what we are, and I am the first among them. And they read. They read, and then they come, but they do not find what they are seeking. If we as a brotherhood have received something and have found an elder, then we are responsible for struggling to acquire it ourselves. There is an elder, there is fervor, there is a living spring, the one who struggles is trained through hardship, and of course someone else can tell us this too. But then it should come from an elder. I speak from what my own elder taught me, from what I saw with my own eyes. He had seen it in his own spiritual father, Elder Arsenios. Elder Arsenios did not have the same temperament or the same sharpness as my elder. My elder possessed both things, the Jesus prayer, the prayer of the heart, and theoria, the divine vision of God. He had both praxis, the active ascetic life, and theoria. Elder Arsenios did not have theoria in the same way. He was simple and open by nature, and his natural disposition helped him. But the elder in his heart, this is what came out in Elder Arsenios. He would stand there on his feet from sundown until daybreak, and that on top of the labor of the whole day, because he had one task after another, and many other things besides. And what sleep he got standing upright. What did he say? Mr. de Sazenes would say, my child, sometimes, a thought of the imagination comes to me. How am I going to get up? How am I going to do this? I have kept the whole rule, day after day, and now, he says, there is so much labor that I feel the weariness of it. How am I going to face it now? How am I going to get through so many hours of toil? As soon as I stand for prayer, my child, he would say, my heart opens, every depth of my heart opens through the Jesus prayer, and I feel no weariness at all. I have two little accounts of his from those beautiful experiences. The elder possessed both gifts. Such beautiful honey flowed from his heart, while there are also those of us who simply sit and eat what others have prepared. Always ready-made, we feed on what the industrious bees produce. These are the stumbling blocks. Who is it that does this work? It is the one who stops me from praying, the one who comes and draws me into idle talk, who comes and judges others, who comes and sets a stumbling block before me, a stone of offense, so that I may fall. And there is a drone inside me, devouring what I am striving to accomplish. It devours the fruit of my labor. Should I not be watchful? Should it not be cast out? Once it is cast out of my hive, it can do no harm. It does harm. So, my fathers, strive. I, the wretched one, must strive first, and you must follow, so that we may find what we need and make honey. May we gain the grace of God. May we experience what it truly means to be monks. May we truly experience it, because my blessed elder used to tell me, what did he say? My child, he said, everyone thinks that if someone leaves the world, goes somewhere to become a monk, puts on the cassock, and receives the schema, then he has become a monk. But that is not so. A monk is someone who leaves the world, finds a spiritual guide, remains faithfully by his side, and comes to experience the prayer. If he does not experience the prayer, he has not become a monk. Outwardly, he has become one. Inwardly, he has not. The human person is twofold, twofold both outward and inward, both body and soul. He is washed outwardly and inwardly. He is soiled both outwardly and inwardly. He is nourished by material food and by spiritual food. If the person does not change inwardly, the outward appearance is nothing. Does the Lord not say, you clean the outside of the cup, but leave the inside unwashed? You are greedy. You are hypocrites. Wash the inside of the cup, and the outside will also be clean. Cleanse what is within you. Put your inner life, your logismoi, your intrusive thoughts, and everything else in order, and you will see that your outward actions will also be right. The members of the body do not move by themselves. They are moved by an inner motive. If that inner motive is healthy, then all the outward movements and actions of the body will also be sound. But if the inner man does not change, what will become of us? We must keep the name of Christ within us, have reverence, and set our thoughts on heavenly things. Where else are we going? Whenever we find that the nous, the spiritual intellect, is not thinking of the things above, it has turned downward. We see trees growing upward, but unless you bend down the branch of a lemon tree, it will not bear fruit. If you simply leave the branches free to grow as they please, the tree will not bear fruit. But when someone, the gardener, takes hold of a branch, ties it with a little cord, bends it down, and secures it in that position, the time will come when it will bear fruit. If he will not bend down, if someone comes to him and he does not obey, he bears no fruit. As long as he stretches himself upward and thinks that he is something, and that he is accomplishing something, and thoughts and self-conceit and pride run through him, he does nothing good. Take it with humility and say, I have no will of my own. I sold my will in order to gain and possess my freedom in Christ. Not my own will, not what I myself want. Give your will to Christ through your elder, and you will receive freedom in Christ. Of course, Father, the most essential thing is prayer. If we do not acquire prayer, what benefit have we received from coming here? Let us struggle. Practice the Jesus prayer throughout the day, even when your attention is drawn outward. However outwardly demanding your obedience may be, keep trying. Gather the wandering news through prayer, and remember the name of the Lord. You, Father, are very busy. I bring the noose under control and rein it in, even if it cries out, until its shouting ceases. Otherwise, little by little, a person begins sliding downhill. Then you see him rushing headlong and smashing everything before him, and suddenly death meets him. Only then does he come to himself, but by then it is too late. Then the angel, the voice of God, and his own conscience will say to him, when the sun rose and reached its height, where were you? Why did you not labor for God then? Now that the sun is setting, now that it is going down and darkness is approaching, only now have you awakened and begun to labor for God. Go now, the matter is finished. These things grieve me. Why then do these things pain me? Because I understand them, because I am a father, you know, and because I have love within me. The child pulls this way and that. Where are you heading, my child? He insults his parents, throws down his school bag, and refuses to study. His mother takes it from him. Give me this much money. I don't have it, but I want it. Why did you give birth to me? He says. You have to support me, he says. You hear the news these days. A boy will cut his own mother's throat just to get pocket money out of her. And from there, where is he headed? Is this someone who can raise a family? How will he build a peaceful home? Is he fit for work? What prison is waiting for him?
That is what parents say inside themselves when they watch their children.
The children go astray. They do not respect them. They do not love them. They do not obey them. They ruin their own lives. These are the things parents say. And does the soul not ache in the same way when you see your spiritual child, your disciple, refusing to come near you? This disciple has a guide. He found this man as his guide. He found him as a father. He found in him his very support and foundation as a disciple. And yet he feeds his own self-will, and he imagines that he is on his way to the kingdom of heaven. They have all been deceived. God will judge. God has given his law concerning the Father, and that is the ground on which you must stand. Where obedience is required, you must submit. Whether it seems pleasant or unpleasant, once you have acted recklessly, the harm cannot simply be undone. Everyone imagines that something is being accomplished. But those who understand look on with sorrow when they see a disciple behaving this way toward his elder. And what does he imagine? You should say, glory to God, who is still sustaining you and giving you time to come to your senses. Make a start. 5 days a month, I sit here and weep over this sorry state of affairs. I hear you, but they don't listen to you. It's the devil's fist. Do you want to keep getting that kind of answer from your spiritual child year after year? We must not tear people down. Then this man says to another, it is a wound. You are not in my position, and this is not merely youthful behavior. When I was young and something troubled me, if a brother said anything against my elder, I could not accept it. You see your brother. Do you hear what he is saying? By speaking this way, we wound the elder. Be watchful and you will find salvation. Yes, we must be watchful. We did not come here merely to exhaust ourselves. A disciple must be ready to be used in every way required by his obedience. Out of all of you, the only one you didn't take care of was yourself, he says to him. And of course he would say the same to all of us. The elder would say it to me first. You've grown old and you've done nothing. So this is what we are as well, every one of us very much so.